Unmute them.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We praise God for being with you on today in Jesus' name. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. The network where you can be ye transformed. Amen. It is our mission that you be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We praise God for being here on today. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Amen. Not because of anything I've done or my voice, but if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And we praise God. And that is a reason to give God praise. Amen. Again, welcome to the show. Amen, where you get your weekend started off right, the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this network in Jesus' name, of this great network in Jesus' name, Apostle Cook. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Giving honor to my pastor and First Lady, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I praise God for each and every person that is listening in on this morning, this afternoon, wherever you're listening to me from, around the world. I'm not going to mention all of the countries and all of the states that are listening, but everybody around the world, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we have a powerful, powerful topic on today. And the reason why I can say that it's a powerful topic, because number one, it's from the Word of God. And number two, we know that the Lord is all-powerful. Amen. So on today, we are talking about three simple words. And these three simple words can be used in the church, out of the church, in the secular world, in the church world. The person that is a morally good individual. These three words can be used for a person that has lived their life in the church from a baby on up. And these three simple words is set me free. And you might say, well, why are you saying these three simple words? These three simple words are something to a lot of people. Set me free. The reason why these three simple words are so powerful to every person, every walk of life, is because every person on the face of the earth, past, present, and future, will deal with issues in their life, whether it be natural, whether it be spiritual, but we're all dealing with something. Amen. We're all dealing with something. And the Bible declares to us that we can have
freedom. And the cry today in the world today is, set me free. You might say, well, Brother Adam, how is it that the world is crying out, set me free, when they're not actually saying it, when we see all the devastation going on? Well, even in devastation, they're still crying out. You might say, how? Look around the world. Look at the many things going on in America and China and different other countries. They're looking for hope. They're looking for a leader to come and free them from their bondage. This is even going on in the Bible days. We can look at the children of Israel. They were looking for somebody to set them free from the bondage that they were in, not just slavery, but the mental bondage, the spiritual bondage, the physical bondage. There is a lot of things that we go through on a day-to-day basis that we need to be set free from. That's why I said this is not just a church thing. This is not just a worldly thing. This is not just a thing of, well, I just need to be set free from one thing. But this is a thing that we need to be set free. Everything. Everything in our life.
I'm on
because
the air.
We all deal with something.
No, that's all right.
Amen.
I'm talking to Tina. I'm on the air, sweetheart.
Amen. Oh. If everybody could mute their phones or mute themselves. Amen. We praise God for the freedom that we have. I mean, we have freedom to go places. A lot of countries have freedom in different countries. I mean, America is one of the top places where you can go and have freedom to do and go wherever you want to and all of that. But these three words, set me free, is something about this sentence with three little words in it that's so powerful. Because in this, there is a cry being made. In this, in these three little words, there is a cry being made. Now, I want to say this. In John chapter 8, I'm going to start off with a scripture. In John chapter 8, in John chapter number 8, it lets us know where we can seek our freedom from. And the reason why I say this, and I want to read this scripture to you, because there is freedom, number one, there is freedom in the Word of God. There's always freedom in the Word of God. I understand that some people may not believe in this word. There are some that may not believe in this, in what I'm saying. There might be somebody listening to me right now, and you might say, well, with all this devastation going on in the world, how can you sit over there and say that there's freedom in Jesus when I'm seeing all this devastation? When I'm seeing all of this stuff going on, how in the world can you sit over there, over the airwaves, and make that decree that there's freedom in Jesus? If God so, you're quoting John scriptures like John 3:16, for God so loved the world and all of this. If he loved us that much, why is there devastation? Well, let me share something with you. In John chapter 8, the Bible lets us know in John chapter 8, verse 36, and I'm going to show you this. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to show you why there is devastation. I'm going to show you why there's devastation in the world. Number one, I'm going to say it like this, that the number one reason why there's devastation in the world right now is because of sin. Now, when I read this verse to you, I want you to understand this, and I'm going to read the verse first. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You might say, well, with all this devastation, how can I find freedom in Jesus? If Jesus loved me so much, why would he bring devastation? Why would he bring wrath? Why would he bring this? Now, let me tell y'all something. He did not bring the devastation. The Lord did not bring the devastation on the earth. Man brought it. Simple. Man brought the devastation on the earth. God did not bring devastation on the earth. And you might say, well, what do you mean? He must have. He's the creator. You say he's the creator of all things. He brought devastation. No. God didn't bring devastation on the earth. Man did. Man brought devastation by the choices that they make. The sinful things that man does brings the devastation, brings the sin onto the world, which brings the devastation. Sin brings devastation onto the world. And with that sin brings the devastation. And that devastation that we see through our day-to-day lives, we can, now, in the midst of that devastation, God does protect us from that devastation. That's why there is a cry being made, "Set me free." This devastation that we are seeing throughout the world today, in the world system, we see it all. Well, why would God allow this to happen? Because without the devastation, you wouldn't see how God really works. You wouldn't know how God really works. If you did not have the devastation, you would need God. He knew that devastation was coming. He knew that sin was coming because he knew that man was not going to do what man needed to do to stay in good alignment with God. He knew this. He knew that Adam was going to sin. And you might say, well, if God is so powerful, why would God allow him to sin? Well, He is such a loving God. That he would not force himself upon nobody. He would not force himself upon nobody. This is why he allows things to happen. But just like science says, with every action, there's a reaction, correct? Amen? With every action, there's a reaction. So with every action of sin, sin has to eventually be judged. With every act of good, it's judged. You might say, why is it judged? Because He comes with a reward, whether it be bad or good. But there is a, but let me get back on topic here. The world is crying out because of the sin that has been put onto the world. They are looking, the world is looking for hope. The world is looking for a way out. And really the thing is, the world is looking for a way out of what Adam created by his disobedience. The soul of a man or woman or a child is crying out, set me free. Set me free. Now, how we just read, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You might say, well, how does the Lord set us free? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Because when we look throughout the Bible and we look now in today's time, in today's era, a lot of people are looking for to be set free, but some do not know what they need to be set free from, or why that cry is happening in them. They think, some people, and I'm not saying all people, but some people think that I'm crying out for freedom because of the devastation that I see, or I'm crying out for freedom because I need something to sustain me. Yeah, you need something to sustain you. You need the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual thing. When you look at everything around us, everything, every human being, there is something spiritual in the spirit connected to you, whether it be demonic or whether it be godly. It is up to us to be set free in the spirit so that our lives can be more blessed. It is up to us. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we just celebrated Pentecost on last Sunday, 50 days after the Passover. This was Pentecost. And this is what comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the day of Pentecost. And we're going to read that. Matter of fact, let's go to that. Because I want you to see what, why are souls and why is man crying out? This is what man is crying out for, to be spiritually set free. Just like the children of Israel, just like when Jesus was born, the man was crying out then. Man was crying out way before Jesus was even born. That's why Jesus came, to set us free. But he was looking at the spiritual cry that was going on in us. That's why when we as people, we look to the left and we look to the right and we look behind us for things to help us out in life, and we can't find contentment in this, and we can't find contentment in that, it's because that thing that we are looking at to bring us contentment is not helping us. It won't help you. And the reason why it won't help you is because it is a spiritual thing that is, it is a spiritual hunger that is going on inside of you. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but the Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. This is a spiritual cry happening in the world today. It is a spiritual cry. I don't know who I'm talking to today. There is someone or people that are listening to this broadcast today, and you feel like, all of this stuff that is going on around me and all this stuff I see on the news and all of this stuff that's going on in my family, why is all of this? I need some relief. I need some. God is telling you, get yourself in order. We need, as the body of Christ, we need to get ourselves in order. We, as the body of Christ, have to get ourselves in order now. It is past time for us to get ourselves in order. Because, and this might sound a little bit harsh, but I'm saying it like the Bible says, it's holiness or hell. Oh, there you go again, preaching holiness or hell. There you go again. But it's true. It's true. It's true. We have to live the way God would have us to live. Or otherwise, we have no hope without Jesus. We can't be set free by going here and there. We can't be set free from the issues of our life without going to Jesus. Now, let's read Acts 2 and 38. Let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Because there might be some people that have never heard of this. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then we're gonna read verses 1 through 4, and then we're gonna drop down to 38 through 40. Amen. Because I want you to see this. This is the thing that Jesus set us up for, to be set free. All my life I've heard this saying, set me free. They've made songs about it. They've titled songs about it. They've had books about it. Set me free. Freedom. Talking about freedom. Dr. Martin Luther King said it best in his I Have a Dream speech. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Yes, he was talking about social and racial justice. But there are some people that need to be free from the bondage that they're in spiritually, which will then result in the bondage that you're in naturally. There are so many people that are in spiritual bondage, which puts them in physical bondage. Well, how in the world my spiritual bondage, what does my spiritual bondage have to do with my physical bondage? Because when you are in spiritual bondage, you are in a mental bondage. How do I know? Because the Bible says let me back up here, because I'm getting too happy. Let me read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 real quick. Because I want to tell you about this freedom that Jesus was talking about. What Jesus was talking about in John chapter 8. Verse 36. This is the freedom right here. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is what we need. This is the freedom. Once they received the Holy Ghost, they were spiritually free. Now, let's go over to 38, verses 38 through 40. Amen? Because I want you to see this. These are the steps, as we know in the church world, the steps of salvation, but these are the steps to being set free from your spiritual bondage, which leads into your natural bondage. And I'm going to show you how it leads to natural bondage, how your spiritual bondage leads to your natural bondage. Amen? But let me read this to you. These are the steps of spiritual freedom. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto all, and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, and this is verse 40, saying, save yourselves from this untorn generation. The devastation that we see around the world, the devastation that you might go through in your life, that is dealing with the untorn generation. You have to save yourself. The Bible says that the man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What does that mean? You can't live off of just the natural. You can't live off the money, cars, and clothes, because that's not going to sustain you. The Bible also says, I once was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There, what does that mean? That doesn't just mean that I have everything that I want, as far as, you know, materialistically, because people take that scripture and use it for materialistic stuff, and it's not talking about materialistic. It's not talking about materialistic. Hey, amen. Can we have everybody mute? Can we have everybody mute in Jesus' name? Amen. But when we look at this,
I watched it and accidentally got the spark to go from my head.
Amen. Can we have everybody mute in Jesus' name? Amen. Can we have everybody mute in Jesus' name? Amen. Can we have everybody be on mute, please, in Jesus' name? But when we talk about being set free, the Bible lets us know that when you say, set me free, you're asking God to set you free from everything that is coming against you. Amen. Now, the Bible lets us know that I once was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We might look at that verse, and a lot of preachers look at that verse and be like, oh, yeah, you're going to get your new car, and you're going to get your new house, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and his seed begging. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, which means you're going to get that new car. You're going to get that new house if you walk up right before. It's not talking about cars and clothes. It's not talking about that. It is not. Now, those things are in there, but it's not. It's talking about spiritually. I once was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, which means if I walk upright before him, he's going to be with me. That's why we can say we only find freedom in Jesus. We only find freedom in Jesus. If you want to be set free, you can only find it in Jesus. Now, you might say, well, Brother Adam, you were talking about the spiritual bondage. How is the spiritual bondage connected to our physical bondage, the things that we deal with? I'm going to tell you something. The reason why it's connected is because, number one, anything spiritually connected to you, the Bible says, such as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen? It all starts in the mind. Whatever you're dealing with, it's going to have a battle in your mind. And your mind is physical. But what you're dealing with, like say you're dealing with, say a person is dealing with alcohol or drugs, and I'm just using this as an example, y'all. And they really want to break that habit. That's a mental thing. And it's dealing in the AA meeting, in the drug rehabilitation centers, they'll say it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing because it's a mental battle with the enemy. But it's a spirit behind it. That's how I say when you have these, when a person has a craving for wanting drugs or alcohol or wanting to do this or wanting to do that, there's a spirit behind it. Why do you think they call it sin? Because there's a spirit, there's a demonic spirit behind it. That's why, and those spirits try to fight us. Those spirits try to fight us and tell us, hey, look, you can't live without that. You can't, you know you can't go without having a drink. You got too many issues. You should go out there and get your drugs and get this woman and get this man and get this and get that. You're not happy because you ain't got that new car. You know you saw your best friend with that new car. You should go out there and do whatever you got to do to get that new car that you want. It's a mental thing. But it's spiritual too, because those demons, those spirits try to come in the mind and attack us. The mind is a battlefield. That's why I said your spiritual bondage is connected to your natural bondage. This is why the world is crying out, set me free, because the world is in a spiritual bondage and in a mental, physical bondage, which leads to a physical bondage. This is why we see all the devastation. Sin brings devastation. Sin brings death. Amen? I can't make it, the Lord can't make it no plainer. Look, let me show y'all something. And I'm going to show you. In Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12, this is where the Lord is taking me. I have to say it this way because the Lord has got me to a place where allowing me to see what the Word of God is saying. Amen. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, I'm going to show you something. The devastation that we see around the world is because of sin. The devastation brings death. The devastation is trying to take you out. The problems are trying to take you out. The addictions are trying to take you out. But that's all revolved around spirits. That's why I said the spirit is connected to the natural. Amen? That's why the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Why is it that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God? Let's break that down. Hold on. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. I'm going to show you. Sin brings devastation. Devastation brings death. The devastation is the after effect of sin. The devastation. It's a weight. It's a weight. The devastation is the weight. The sin is a weight. That's why the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. What this verse is telling us is that one man brought sin. That man was Adam. Because of the choices that Adam made, this is where the devastation comes in at. Why? Sin brought mankind down and the world itself, I'm talking about the earth, down, it brought it down pegs. It brought us down a couple pegs or two. You ever heard, quiet yourself down a peg or two? You ever heard that saying? Quiet yourself down a peg or two. But the sin brought devastation. That was the after effect of sin. All the calamity that's going on in the world, it's not because the world, the earth is crying out because sin is on the earth. All of the devastation that we see, it is because of sin. And sin is the things that we see, the murdering and the killing and the addictions and all of the sexual perversion and all of this stuff is sin. It's a spiritual thing that is attached itself to the natural. That's why I said every human being that has a soul, you are connected to the spiritual. You have to have the spiritual. That's why we say, that is why, that's why the Bible says you prosper as your what? Soul prosper. It is good to have cars, money, and clothes, but if your soul is not prospering, it doesn't mean a thing. That's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does that mean? That means, what does it profit me to gain the cars, the money, and the clothes, and it profit me nothing if my soul is messed up, if my spirit man is messed up? My spirit man, those things will not please my spirit. Those things will not relieve me of the devastation that is going on in my life. I'm still going to be crying out, set me free. My soul will still cry out, set me free. Or what will a man, the Bible also says, and what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We see a lot of people selling their souls for fame, for fortune, for this, for that. Why? For what? For what? It doesn't profit me nothing. if I'm selling my soul, if I'm giving my all to something that, and I'm going to break this down. The Lord's going to have me break this. The Lord doesn't have me break this down. And I hate to do it this way, but this is the way the Lord told me to go. The stuff that we get into to try to find that freedom, such as yoga, and I'm just using this stuff as an example. But this is stuff that we use. We use this stuff, and I did not mean to go here, but the Lord told me to take it here. I ain't even got into the fullness of my notes. This is all off the Spirit of the Lord. Things that try to we look towards to try to find that freedom. We're not looking to Jesus, but we're looking to everything else. We're looking towards sages and all of this and rocks and evil eyes and all this stuff. The devil is a lie. You can't find freedom in that. You're not going there's something called an evil eye that tries to, they say that evil eye keeps the bad spirits away. That ain't going to keep no bad spirit away from you. If I burn sage, that's going to keep the spirits away from me. That's going to keep, if I just have good vibes, that's going to, no. Uh-uh. That stuff is demonic. I did not mean to go here, but the Lord has taken me here. Let me tell you something. The only way that you can have true freedom is in Jesus Christ. You have to be. You must be. The only way that you can be set free from the things of this world, the mental state that you're in, the depression that you're in, the oppression that you're in, the ostracism that you're in, Jesus will set you free. There's a whole world crying out, set me free. But they're looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for freedom in all the wrong places. They're looking for it, but they can't find it because they're looking in the wrong place. The Lord has given us power. The Lord gave us the gateway to be free. As we read in John chapter 8, verse 36. Amen. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Those were the requirements to be free. What are the steps of freedom? True spiritual freedom so that I can get my natural freedom. So I don't have to be bound by drugs, and I don't have to be bound by alcohol, and I ain't got to go to this man for contentment, and I ain't got to go for this woman for love, and I ain't got to look for love in all the wrong places because I'm free. But how do I find my freedom? Well, in Acts 2 and 38, it gives you three simple steps. To repent, number one, because it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. That's number two. To be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Remission means the removal of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Once you receive his spirit on the inside of you, you have the power to tell sin no. Well, how do I know that? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have what? Power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to do things right. Power to tell the enemy no. Power to tell sin no. Power to when the enemy comes up on you and he sends his demons to tell you, oh, you can't, you need that drink. You could tell the enemy, no, I don't. That's what that power is in Acts 1 and 8. Then once you get the Holy Ghost down inside of you, you have strength enough to fight the enemy. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We are strong in Jesus. The devil cannot take us over. The devil can't take over our life. The only way that the devil can take over our life is if we let him. Well, how do I know this? Let's go to Mark chapter 3. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. Let's go to Mark. Because we just read in Philippians, I just quoted the scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, right? Let's go to Mark chapter 3. In Mark, in the book of Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Because I want you to get this. This coincides with Philippians 4 and 13. Amen. And this coincides that if we allow the enemy to come in, then he'll take us over. But if we don't allow the enemy to come in, if we don't allow that thought to take us over, we rebuke that thought right then, it won't take us over. It won't take us over. Now watch this. I want you to see this. Philippians chapter 3. I mean, Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Excuse me, I'm so sorry about that. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. And it reads, no man can enter unto a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, what does this mean? The Bible declares right here in this verse that no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. Let's stop right there for a minute. What does this mean? This is, now Jesus is using this. He's using this as a parable a little bit. He's giving he's allowing the people to see what he's talking about. Basically using this as a visual, a mental visual, I guess you could say. He's allowing them see what he's talking about. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. Now, let's stop right there. What is the strong man's house? My spiritual. No spirit can enter in you. No devil can take you over, can take over your life, except that spirit binds you first. Now, a person that does not have the Holy Ghost is weak. They are not strong to be able to resist the devil. They are weak. They are not strong enough to resist the devil without the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Amen. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. The Holy Ghost is God on the inside of you, God's Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible also says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater is the Holy Ghost. this is why this verse right here says, no man can enter into a strong man's house. Demons, people talking to you saying, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do this. I don't believe you. You get saved and somebody tells you, oh, man, I don't believe you can live saved. That's why I said it's a mental thing. Spirits start talking to you in your mind. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The battlefield is the mind. That's where the devil has the most battles at, in your mind. Because if he can get in your mind, he can take over the whole house. Have you ever noticed that people have a level of sobriety from something, and then they find themselves back into what they were coming out of, what they came out of? Because the devil has played with their mind and told them, oh, you can't live without that, and they went along with it. They gave in to the mental state. They kept thinking, oh, maybe I can't. Once you, if you don't rebuke the enemy, if you don't have the Holy Ghost to the Holy Ghost power to be able to rebuke the enemy right then and there, you fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This is why we find freedom in Jesus. And then let's go to James chapter 4, verse 7. Amen. Because I want to, in a minute, I'm going to get some feedback from anybody who wants to, chime in on this topic today. Because I find it very good when you get others in on what we're talking about. Amen. In James chapter 4, verse number 7. In James chapter 4, verse number 7, it lets us know that if we resist the devil, amen, it lets us know. In fact, let me turn to it. I'm not gonna pull it. I'm gonna read it to you in Jesus' name. I'm just gonna go ahead and read it. Amen. It says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Submit. That's the thing that we need to do when we want to be free. See, a lot of people don't want to submit themselves. See, when you have the Holy Ghost, you have told God that I'm giving myself to you, and I'm allowing you to take over. Now, it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, how do I submit myself to God to get my freedom? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to show you the submission. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to show you the submission, the submitting that we just read about. Amen. Here it is, right here. When you get the Holy Ghost, this is what you got to do to keep yourself in your freedom. This is what you got to do right here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to read verse 2 for you too. Amen. Because it talks about the mind. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto not myself, not unto my flesh, not unto my my husband or my wife or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whoever. But I submit my, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And with that submission, this is what happens. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of who? Not myself, not my flesh, but the will of God. The will of God. That is the freedom that we have, the will of God. Amen? That's how we submit ourselves. First, we submit ourselves unto receiving salvation. Once we receive the plan of salvation, which is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We now present our bodies. We present ourselves. We tell God, look, you can do whatever you want with me. Take, my life is yours. My life is yours. My will is yours. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. This house is now all yours. You live in this house. Light and darkness have no fellowship, so you can't have both God and man in the same house. You can't have light with darkness in the same house. And that's why the Bible says, resist the devil. If you submit yourself to God, if you submit your ways unto the Holy Ghost, if you tell, if the Holy Ghost is telling you, if the Holy Ghost tells you to go left and the enemy's telling you, no, you should go right, but you submit yourself and say, no, I'm going to go left. I'm going to listen to the Holy Ghost and go left. He'll leave you alone. Oh, man, she done listened to the Holy Ghost. Now I got to go. Or the Holy Ghost tells you to go right and the devil telling you to go left. No, that's why the Bible says if you submit yourself to God, submit yourselves unto the Holy Ghost, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's why the Bible says obedience. The Holy Ghost is just there to guide you. And when you listen to the Holy Ghost, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. When we don't listen to the Holy Ghost, we're sacrificing something. Uh-oh. Amen? We're sacrificing something. When we are not obedient unto the Holy Ghost, we are sacrificing something. The Bible lets us know, I'm going to repeat it again, obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean? It means if we are obedient, we're not sacrificing anything. But if we don't obey to the will of God, to the ways of God, to the statutes of God, then we're going to sacrifice something. With every action, there's a reaction. This is why the devastation is happening, because man chose not to be obedient unto God. What was the thing that brought sin? As we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, one man brought sin. Adam, out of Adam's disobedience unto God, obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Because of Adam's disobedience, the sacrifice was the devastation in the world. That's what it was. Amen. At this time, I want to, before I go on with the lesson, I want to get some feedback and I want to get some comments from anyone who is listening on today, whether it be in the chat room or our Spirit Alive family, whoever, you can chime in at this time. You can leave your comment in Jesus' name at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to continue. Amen. And if you are, if you want to chime in, you can go ahead and just chime on in here. Amen. Amen. Because I love to give feedback in Jesus' name. Amen. But we may feel like we can't go on, but Jesus is our help. Jesus is our help. We just read in James chapter 4, verse 7, that when we resist the devil, the Holy Ghost helps us resist the devil. See, the devil tries to pull us out of the freedom that God is trying to give us. Amen. The devil wants us to be in bondage in our natural and spiritual life. The devil does not care, because his main goal is for you to be in bondage spiritually and naturally, so that in your bondage, he hopes that you stay in bondage. He hopes that we stay in the bondage that we're in, so that we can have sin on our lives, so that we're not fit for the kingdom. Because his main objective is for everybody that he can to go to hell. That's plain and simple. He wants to take as many people as he can with him to hell. Because he knows, and let me tell you this, hell was not made for man. I'm going to say that again. Hell was not meant for mankind. It was actually meant for the devil and demons, which are the fallen angels. That's what it was really meant for. But sin came into the world, and all sin is subject to be in hell. Hell, sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God, so it has to go somewhere, right? All sin and everything tainted with sin must go to hell. That's the sin, because what is death? Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it like this, and I'm going to show you. This is what the Lord has given me right now. Sin is meant for hell. All sin, anything that is in sin, is meant for hell. Sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. The devastation of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What is death? Hell. It's not just talking about a physical death, but it's talking about a spiritual death. The wages of sin. The payment for sin is death. In the book of Revelations, at the white throne of judgment, it talks about that. Amen. It talks about that. Amen. And matter of fact, it talks about the second death in the book of Revelations, which all sin and all sinful nature is going into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Amen. That's where sin is going. This is where sin is going, into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. I can't stress this enough. And I'm not, when I say this, I'm not saying it to say that I'm not putting anybody in hell. I'm not, because I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. Okay, I don't claim to be a Bible scholar or whatever. But this is scripture. Amen. And I'm going to show you. In Revelations chapter 20, the Bible lets us know. Matter of fact, I got two scriptures real quick. Two scriptures. I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and then I'm going to read you Revelations, the book of Revelations, starting at verse number 12, okay, just to show you where sin is going, okay? I'm going to show you where sin goes to, all right? In Romans chapter 6, let's go there real quick. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, this shows us that our freedom lies in Jesus Christ, the gift of God. But the gift of God is eternal life. There you go. It says the wages of sin is death. It's not just talking about a physical death, because in the book of Revelations, let's go there. The book of Revelations, this is what it's talking about in Revelations. The wages of sin is death. This is the death that it's talking about. Matter of fact, let's go there. In Revelations chapter 20. In Revelations chapter 20, verse 14. Or starting at verse number 12. Starting at verse number 12. Now, Revelations chapter 20, matter of fact, I'm going to, because I want to bring this out. This is the white throne of judgment. And I'm going to start this at verse 11 just to show you that this is the white throne of judgment. This is for people that stayed in sin and they chose to be in sin. They did not receive salvation. They did not receive the Holy Ghost. They did not get free from the bondage that they were in, the sinful nature that they were in. Now watch this. "And I saw a white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven faded away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Now, this is sin being judged. This is sin being judged. Now, this is not just for the ones that you might say, well, what about the ones that died in sin before me? Well, watch this. And they were judged out of those books. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now, this verse is letting us know, people that have died, you know, you hear about people spreading that a person died and they were cremated. They were cremated or they died at sea. This is what this is talking about. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Cremated, they died at sea, and they're still down there. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. This is what this is saying. People that have died, yeah, they're going to come back and be judged by God at the white throne of judgment for the sinful nature that they were under. People are in hell right now. This is why this verse is right here. Here, in hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Hell delivered up their dead. There are people in hell right now that are gone because they chose not to live the life that God had for them. They chose not to walk in the freedom. They were crying out, set me free. But when the Lord gave them the access to that freedom, they didn't want it. And they died in sin. And yet they're in hell. They're in hell, right? There are some people that are in hell right now. I'm not putting nobody in hell. I'm just reading to you what the scripture says. So don't. I'm putting up this disclaimer right now. I'm not putting nobody in hell when I say this. This is straight from the Word of God. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, what does that mean? Hell, that death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. Those that have died without Christ, they were cast into the lake of fire. Those that have went to hell, those that are in hell now will be cast into the lake of fire, will be sent back to hell. This is what it says. And look, watch this. We said we read the scripture, the wages of sin is death. This is it right here, this last verse right here. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is what this means. This is what this is talking about. A whole lot of people are saying, set me free. Set me free from the bondage that I'm in. But it is up to us to make a choice that when God comes knocking at our door, when you hear the Spirit, when you feel the Spirit tugging at you, the Bible says, harden not your heart. And a whole lot of people are saying, set me free, but they're looking for life in all the wrong places. They're going here, they're going there, they're looking over here, they're looking over there, but they can't find it. They can't find it. So today, I give you Jesus. The Bible lets us know in Acts chapter 3, and this is going to be my last scripture for today. In Acts chapter 3, starting at verse number 6, Peter made this cry. Unto a certain lame man. He made this, he said this unto a certain lame man. He said, silver and gold have I none,
But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now this man was lame. This man had no activity of his legs. Now he was in a physical bondage. He was handicapped. He was disabled. He was physically disabled. And he was sitting at the gate beautiful, and he wanted to be free from his, you know, physical bondage, his handicap, his disability. But there are some people that are in a spiritual disability. They spiritually cannot get up and walk. They have to sit there and let the enemy, you know, bring devastation in their life, and they have to just sit there and take it. But let me tell you today, as Peter said unto this lame man, I say unto you now, silver and gold have I none. Money, I ain't giving to you money. Cars, clothes, nah, that's not what I'm talking about today. But such as I have, I give unto thee. And I have the word of God to back me up on it. That if you want to be free, you can be. Such as I have, I give unto thee. I give you Jesus today. Jesus will help you be free. Only thing you got to do is, I'm not gonna sit here and say only thing you got to do is believe in your heart and or confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, but that's not all of it. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. And a lot of preachers, they say, well, if you believe in your confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. You belief is an action word. What you believe, you're going to act upon. Which takes us to Acts 2 and 38. Acts 2 and 38, we read it earlier, but I'm going to quote it again. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we look in the book of in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Jesus was talking to this man, and and I'm paraphrasing, it's in there though. Jesus told this man, you must be born again. The water and the spirit. You got to be born again. You've had your first death. You've had your first birth. This is why the Bible in the book of Revelations, like we read in the book of Revelations, it talks about the second death. Well, you can choose today to either have live twice and die once, or live once and die twice. What is the second life? In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the Bible lets us know that Jesus said, you must be born again. That's your second birth. That's your second life. That you come out of the bondage that you're in, and that you come into this freedom that God has set for you. That's where you live twice. And then should you physically die off the planet, or should you physically leave here, you won't taste the second death. But you'll have two lives. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You move from this life
into eternal life, two lives. If you're born once and don't receive repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible lets us know that David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. When we come into this world, we come into this world with a hardened heart. We come into this world with a stony heart. But create in me a clean heart. A heart that's pure. A heart that's holy. A heart that's righteous. Then the only way you'll be able to receive that heart and that freedom is through Jesus. That's why I say, such as I have, I give unto thee. I give you Jesus. I give you distinct privilege to be baptized, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then you can say, then you can bring out, I confessed with my mouth. I believed in my heart. They confessed with their mouth when they spoke in tongues. They confessed with their mouth and believed in their hearts. Then you can say that once you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and this promise is not just unto you, but unto your children. And unto those that are far off from you, in going into other generations. This is what we're talking about. This is an untorn generation. We got to save ourselves. It's every man for themselves in this world. When it comes to getting out of your bondage, it's every man for themselves. Nobody can help you but Jesus. Nobody can save you but Jesus. Except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible lets us know that if you don't have his spirit, you are none of his. You might say, well, I know God. Okay. Do you really? Do you know him in the pardon of your sins? Because if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, you really don't know who he really is. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you really don't know him. And I'm just stating facts. If you have the Holy Ghost, you know him. If you know him in the pardon of your sins, you really know him. There's a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of people say, I know Jesus. But does Jesus know you? And do you really know him? You might have heard about him. That just because I heard of a person doesn't mean I know them. Doesn't mean I know them. I heard LeBron James. I don't know that man. I've never met him in my life. I know of him. I know what he does for a living. I know he's a world famous basketball player. That's all I know. I know of him. I don't know him personally. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you start knowing Jesus personally. Getting into the Word of God, knowing Jesus personally. That's why I say you learn his statutes. You learn about Jesus. And once you start getting to know him, you start falling in love with him. And love gets greater. That's why the songwriter says, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. That's what we got to get to. I hope you've enjoyed this lesson on today. Set me free. I'm here to tell you, I'm finished, but this morning I had been studying all week long, and I did not have, the Lord did not give me anything, and I came in here today, And the Lord put two scriptures in my mind on the way here. And the Lord just started, as this broadcast went on, the Lord started feeding me. And so all of this was from the Lord, all of it. I give glory and honor and praise to God for the rich word that he has given on today, because it wasn't for me. Because if the Lord don't give it to me, I ain't got nothing. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I love you all in Jesus' name. Make sure you get up, go out tomorrow, and give God some praise. If you are in the city of Indianapolis, make sure you go on my Facebook page. Every week we have a Bible study at Triumphant Faith Apostolic Assembly. Join us there. We have all the information up on my Facebook page. And get a mighty, mighty word to bless your midweek in Jesus' name. Amen. And to all of my Spirit Alive family, God bless you in Jesus' name. And to everybody that is listening to us around the world, in Jesus' name, God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name, where you can be transformed, in Jesus' name. God bless you all, Spirit Alive family. God bless you, Triumphant Faith. God bless you around the world. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.